Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The New Statesman.
Angela Rayner, the Labour deputy leader, is being accused of being a tax avoider. While these attacks are coming predominantly from the right, they've been mounting in recent weeks. And now Labour is having to confront the allegations. So what could this mean for the deputy leader? Is Labour in trouble? Or is this a Tory smear campaign? Hello, I'm Anoush Shakelian, Britain editor of The New Statesman and host of this podcast. And joining me in the studio, I have Freddie Hayward, our political correspondent, who's been staying on top of the developments on the Angela Rayner story for the past few weeks. And you can read his piece about it on the New Statesman website. So, Freddie, just to contextualise this, this story first came from Red Queen, a new biography of Rayner by Michael Ashcroft, who is a former deputy chair of the Conservative Party, big party donor. He's also someone who's been subject himself to tax-related controversy. He was a non-dom domiciled in Belize and was under pressure when he was in the House of Lords over that status. So set the scene for us. What's he saying that he's found out about Rayner's tax affairs?
So it's essentially a question about capital gains tax and whether she paid the right amount of it. This goes back to before she was an MP, when she had a house that she owned and then she sold, and she didn't pay capital gains on it. The question is whether she should have. And that question arises because at the time she was living with her husband at another address, and you can only have one primary residence on which you don't pay capital gains. So the question is, you know, did when her husband sold his house, did he pay capital gains on that? Or did, you know, were there a sufficient amount of home improvements so she got a tax exemption on her original house? So that there are questions around at the moment, and this has been going on for quite a long time now. We've seen the newspaper, the press, run with it quite hard. The Tory party run with it quite hard, and I think there's lots of reasons for that, which I'm sure we'll go into, but it's not gone yet. It's not as if Angela Rayner sat down and done a big interview and said, okay, this is the reason why I didn't pay capital gains on it. She's essentially said, I've taken legal advice and tax advice, both of which say I've done nothing wrong, so I'm not going to apologise. She's been very clear that she's not going to release her tax returns unless the Tory politicians who are sort of you know, going after her do so as well. Mm-hmm. So she's sort of standing her ground. There's been reasonable support, I would say, from Keir Starmer, from Rachel Reeves. Rachel Reeves was on the media round yesterday, and she came out in support of Rayner. Starmer's made similar comments. So I don't think there's much. At the moment, there's not that much internal dissent, but there's clearly a little bit of momentum around the story. So we'll see where it goes.
And Greater Manchester Police, which originally concluded that no wrongdoing occurred, has actually reassessed that decision to probe her election, her electoral registration, like where she was voting from.
Yeah, so this is a question about whether she was registered to vote from the right address. You should register to vote from your primary address. And if she wasn't living there at the time, then that means it wasn't her primary address. So there's two questions. You got the electoral one and you got the tax one. So the Greater Manchester Police have said they're going to review their decision. This comes after a Tory MP, James Daly, asked them to do so. Mm-hmm. I mean, it makes sense for the Tories to press this case. I mean, they've had such an awful few months. I mean, I think we should go into that. The Tory attack machine has been flaccid. It has been non-existent. It's been absent from the debate for months. People in Labour know this. People talk about it. Where are they? You know, where are their sort of big stories on Labour politicians? How are they going to shift the narrative back onto Labour? And I think this is the first bit of news or bit of, you know, good news that they've had for a long time. And that's why they're focused on it so much. I mean, though it didn't even come from them, it came from Michael Ashcroft and his researches. But I think that's why they're going for it, and that's why they'll be pushing the newspapers to run with it for so long. I mean, there are some in Labour as well who will point back to some parallels in the past. I think it's interesting that they pursued a similar tactic with Keir Starmer during Beergate.
Definitely is reminiscent of that, isn't it?
Yeah, so this was also during the local election campaign. Yeah. Right now, we're about 3 weeks away from the local elections. So back in 2022, this story re-emerged that had already been released, but it re-emerged during the local election campaign that Keir Starmer may have potentially broken lockdown rules when he had that famous beer, I don't know, it was Peroni or something, with a curry in
Durham.
Got to
be a Peroni.
Always a Peroni with Keir Starmer. and they ran with this for a long time. Yeah. And remember, Keir Starmer sort of placed his whole career on it. He did that press conference where he said, if I am fined, if there is a fixed penalty notice, I will resign, which was a huge moment. So it was a very successful operation from the Tories in shifting the narrative in the local election campaign onto Keir Starmer and away from Partygate. That went on for a long time, and it's not on the same plane at all, this, but it's a similar tactic, and some in Labour have noticed that parallel.
I do think that it really does echo that, in the sense that now, when you hear people complain about Partygate, which is still something that angers voters a lot, they will often say, well, I suppose Labour were no better, or, well, I suppose they were at it too, you know. So there is a sort of, you know, all politicians are the same element to these kind of stories. So even if, you know, Keir Starmer didn't end up having to resign, he wasn't fined, it may be that it turns out that there was no wrongdoing on Angela Rayner's part in this story. I mean, we can only speculate at the moment, but no matter sort of what the outcome, if there's a bit of a whiff of something dodgy going on, in voters' minds they think, oh yes, well, you know, the Tories have had their own sleaze stories, and now Labour's got their own one too, and that kind of thing hangs around. It sort of hangs in the air. It sticks.
Yeah, it's impressionistic, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's probably why it's quite clever of CCHQ to sort of grab hold of it and push it for all it's worth, even if, you know, the sums involved, I think it's something like £1,000 to £3,000 would have been owed if anything's owed at all, are, you know, trifling compared to a case of Nadeem Zahawi, for example, whose tax affairs we spoke about on the podcast at the time. It still has that sort of, oh, you know, they're all at it, actually, kind of element to it.
Oh, yeah, it won't help in any way public trust in politicians, because, you know, who's going to go into the depths of capital gains tax law and, you know, whether she was right or whether she was wrong or whatever it might be. The impression is everyone's really bad. Oh, I thought Labour might be a little bit better. Angela Rayner is the one who's been going after the Tories on fraud, on, you know, lacking probity in public life, these sorts of things.
Dominic Raab's bullying, Nadeem Zahawi at the time, the non-dom status of Rishi Sunak's wife. I mean, she was the one who was used as the attack dog on these kind of sleaze stories.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So it's not going to help that in any way. But I guess the question is, how does it end? You know, how do Labour draw a line under it? You know, because we know that the Tories, as we've discussed, aren't going to let up. I think the key thing, and some in Labour I've been speaking to this week agree, is that police investigation, or that police review into their investigation. Mm-hmm. If they come out and say, look, we were right, we stick by our conclusions, she's done nothing wrong, I think that will probably draw a line under it. Mm-hmm. But the other question is, you know, are HMRC eventually going to launch an investigation? That's what some Tories hope. I don't think there's any sign of them doing so yet. But if they do, again, that's another thread, a little bit of a momentum. And we know about these stories, it's not really about the content, it's about momentum, it's about perception, image. It's about trying to get some cut through. I don't think we've got there yet. I wrote a piece in Morning Call this week about, you know, what is a scandal? At what point does it become a scandal? When a scandal, I think it requires the public outrage, which in itself requires the public to know about it or to be aware of it and to think about it and to react to it. And I don't think we're there yet. It's nothing at all like Partygate, even Beergate, or some of the scandals we've had in recent years. So, I mean, that's probably part of the reason that we've not spoken much about it yet. It's going to rumble on in the background, but I don't think it's going to distract too much from day-to-day politics.
After the break, we'll discuss whether these allegations are classist. If you're subscribed to The New Statesman, you can get all our episodes ad-free on the New Statesman app. You can get it on both iOS and Android. Just search for New Statesman on the App Store or Google Play Store. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And what do you make of this defence that you're hearing, not just from Labour politicians and Rayner herself, but also some commentators? So there were columns by respected commentators in The Times and The Independent who've described these attacks on Rayner as sort of a class war. Mm. So the basis of these arguments is that someone like Rayner hasn't had a straightforward family life. You know, she grew up on a council estate, had an abusive father, mother who had bipolar. She was a single mum by 16. She has a blended family now, a child with special educational needs. And she's just, you know, she's been trying to hold down a more complicated home life.
Yeah.
And that some of these attacks on, you know, which house was she living in more, you know, they were just a mile apart, these properties. They sort of take advantage of the fact that she doesn't have the sort of standard nuclear family setup that maybe some of the politicians who are laying the allegations on the thickest might have. Yeah. What do you make of that kind of line?
I think on the ground, on sort of the basic level, the Tories are going to run with anything they can get their hands on.
Mm.
On the other level, there is a tone to some of the coverage and to some of the discussion that I think, yeah, it's just a little bit sneery. I think Angela Rayner does wind some Tories up in certain ways. Why is that? Well, I don't know, it's hard to peer inside the minds of hundreds of people, but you know, you can see a theme. I think it's, you know, it's hard to say definitively, but yeah, I mean, she's a northern woman that's not afraid to say what she thinks, and maybe that winds people up in the wrong way.
And of course, when she was pictured at Glyndebourne, which is this sort of outdoor opera event that lots of people go to in black tie, she was sort of accused of being a hypocrite. I think I wrote a piece at the time that argued that that's like a really unconservative thing to argue. Because
well, same here, right? We've got the right to buy being
exactly
exercised.
Yeah.
And it's a story of someone, you know,
it's a story of Thatcherite aspiration.
Exactly. And you know, I'm sure Tories would come out and support it. And if it is just tax avoidance, you know, using the system to prop yourself up is absolutely fine. So yeah, maybe there is. I mean, it's really hard to say. I think you're right to say that there is actually a little bit of a pattern here. It's hard to put your finger on a single individual, but it's part of the tone of the coverage has certainly been focused on that.
And we've spoken about how it's slightly complicated for Labour because Rayner has been used as this attack dog figure for these kind of stories on the other side. But it also makes it difficult because Rachel Reeves was actually out this week trying to sell the alternative to their... Because, you know, they were going to use the scrapping of non-dom status to fund some of their commitments. They can't really use that anymore because Jeremy Hunt's stolen it from them. And so her new alternative for raising that revenue was cracking down on tax evasion.
When's it not?
Yeah. A very familiar pledge. She suggested it could raise £5 billion a year. But of course, when she's going out and trying to sell this, she's being asked about potential tax avoidance on her own benches. So it does make media rounds slightly more complicated for...
Yeah, definitely. That's why it does need to end.
Yeah.
You know, it's not yet a scandal as we discussed, but it does matter for Labour. It is tarnishing some of their other coverage. It was awful timing for Labour that they tried to announce this tax policy at the same time they got questions about Rayner's tax. They'll say obviously they're completely separate things, but as soon as you've got two stories with the words tax in, journalists are going to link the two and you're going to get questions about them. So yeah, they need to draw a line under it, and I think many people in Labour will be thinking how they do so. And as I said, it's the police report, and then some others have suggested a big sit-down interview where the full details are exposed or explained might help move the story on.
Yeah. And of course, one last complication is that she is in an elected role as deputy leader. Mm. So it's less straightforward. You know, if Starmer wanted to draw a line under it and get rid of her... politically very difficult and unlikely. It's even more difficult because she's an elected sort of figure in the party rather than someone he can just... I mean, he couldn't even sack her in the reshuffle when he tried to.
No, no, not at all. So, no, I don't think that's a possibility. But even if he tried, as you say, Anish, even if he said, you know, Angela, I'm going to take, you know, seven out of eight of your jobs or however many it is, she's still going to have that deputy leadership because she was elected by the membership. So that gives her an independent power base within the party. And we've seen her use that to great effect in the past.
Yeah. We'll keep an eye on this story anyway. And the tax expert, Dan Needle, is actually analysing what we know so far for us, and so we will put that piece in the show notes. Thanks so much for listening. If you'd like to submit a question for us to discuss on a future podcast, you can do so at newstatesman.com/youaskus. If you're listening on Spotify, just scroll down on the episode page and type your reply. Or if you're watching on YouTube, you can leave a question in the comments. You've been listening to the New Statesman podcast with me, Anoush Shakelian, and my colleague, Freddie Haywood. We'll be back on Monday to discuss the NHS dental crisis and Britain's Dickensian rot. This episode was produced by Catherine Hughes.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, Freddie here. I want to tell you about a new way you can support the New Statesman's independent journalism. Every morning I send out Morning Call, our daily newsletter covering everything you need to know about British politics. It's free to sign up, plus for just £3 a month, you'll get a recommended daily piece of ours sent to you in full, plus exclusive polling analysis from Ben Walker, a weekly update from Will Dunn, and our featured piece on Sundays. If you enjoy this podcast, you'll love Morning Call. Head to morningcall.substack.com and subscribe now.